with James Mason on election night 2024. And we are just trying this out to see how it works on FTJ. I never did it before because James never did it before. James was on FTJ, so was I. Of course, just as I start, the phone rings. It's unbelievable. James, hold on a second.
Oh, this is live.
Actually, you know what? No, it is live. I'm actually going to not answer this call. And as soon as it stops ringing, I'm going to silence this phone, which I forgot to do. So this is the handset. So let's silence this. And then here we go. Okay, so let me do that right now. And that'll be it. No more interruptions. Ringer volume. Got it. Okay, so it is November 5, 2024, and it is election day / night, wherever you are. And we just figured we'd try to do a show today. Good day as any, right, James?
Sure, you got to start somewhere.
Exactly. So why not start on a significant day, a very significant day? And, of course, there are some who would say that the only one who wins in this presidential election is the Jew.
Is the Jew. How come? I saw that coming. But it's true. It's true. It's true. When you control both sides, you can hardly lose.
Exactly. You can't lose. So, and the Jew doesn't lose, although they have been taking some hits lately, which I'm really upset about. I know you are as well. So, James, why don't you, for the listeners, and I don't even know if we're coming through, if we're live on FTJ, perhaps we can get some confirmation. Yes, go ahead. And I should preface this with saying that
you're hearing us. To me one time, flash me the screen. But anyway, apparently we're coming through.
Oh, good. Excellent. And I should have prefaced our commentary by saying that we are, of course, using this live system, and there's a possibility for one reason or another that we might cut out, just like anybody can, from the mainstream media to the lowliest of broadcasters can cut out, and James can freeze. This is all new for James. This is literally, the first month he's been on the internet.
So there we go.
Yeah. I was just explaining about the cutting out, that it can happen. He's never been on the internet before. He's been on a few shows, but this is really the first time that he's, commandeered a computer to put on the headset, use the microphone, and we've been working on that for a couple of weeks, maybe a little longer. But obviously you can see him, and he's come a long way, and he's great at it. So it's great to see you, James, as always, and looking forward to hearing about your commentary about this election. So why don't you please take the floor and let the listeners know, who might not know who you are, a little bit about yourself, and why you think that, or you don't think that this particular election is important.
Well, a friend and I, the last time we spoke, well, a couple nights ago, Saturday night, and after we spoke, and we were driving home with a carload of groceries and a big fat dog, it hit me. I remember as a young person, when an election was won or lost, it was usually by a landslide. Okay? Then we entered the phase where people just weren't voting anymore. It got to be where, and they would announce this on media television, it was my only source of information, most people who could vote aren't voting. And that had them alarmed. And at the very same time, Tom Metzger was saying, one of his mottos was this: don't waste your vote, don't cast it. And I subscribe to that. Okay, so I said to my friend, you know what? They couldn't go on that way, because it would, and I was cheering for this whole thing at the time. If this continues, they're going to stand exposed as the dictators that they are. They have to keep up the three-ring circus, you know, the old pee under the shell type thing. But people were getting wise. And I also remember in 1968, when George Wallace first ran third party for president, he said, there's not a dime's worth of difference between the Democrats and the Republicans. So he was right. But that's not the case today. And it hasn't been for a little while since the advent of Trump. And again, he's not a golden idol. He's not a panacea, but he's got the enemy frothing at the mouth. And I don't think that's faked. But now we have this thing. We've had it now the past two or three elections. They say it's neck and neck, neck and neck. It's 50-50. How can that even be, when if you stop and think about it? Reality show, just to get the interest up, get out there and vote. You know, you,
right.
I don't want to call Trump a turd, but my co-pilot here wouldn't hesitate, but I'll stop just short of that. He's got the enemy frothing at the mouth. I mean, they can hardly maintain their professionalism when this man, his name and image comes up. And I think it's real. Now, they're both, these candidates are in bed with the Jew. There's no question. I mean, literally and figuratively, they're in bed with the Jew. But now, if this were a scientific study of anything, you look at the constants, and this is a constant. They're all in bed with the Jew. So let's take that one and lay it aside and then look at everything else. You look at the new stuff. That's where it's all at. And I think there's a battle on here. You're going to be stuck with the Jew either way. But everybody's talking about violence in the street. It's only going to come. Well, I don't know. If Trump makes it, maybe the hard left will go berserk. If he doesn't make it, maybe the right will. I don't know. But what they're saying here in this big city is that the police are ready for it, but they don't have any indication of any such thing. And I tend to, as sad as it may be, I tend to believe it. But anyway, here we are. It's 5 o'clock where I'm at. Things are just getting off the ground. We're not going to know anything for maybe not even today, although we might. But it could be a late night for me.
Yeah. Yes. And I am looking at FTJ, and we are. It's weird. The name of the show, it says, I am live. I don't know what that means. But of course, there's a lot of election night coverage, day-night coverage. James, when you first got involved in this quote-unquote movement, that was in the 60s, was that LBJ or Richard Milhouse Nixon?
The first one I remember, and I remember it well, was Kennedy and Nixon. And I remember Nixon came to my hometown in Ohio, town of about 30,000 in southern Ohio. Nixon whistle-stopped out there. Did they still do whistle-stops? I don't think so. They do it by other means. But it was a whistle-stop. City Park. They quickly assembled a flight of stairs, assembled a stage for him. Dad and I were there. Dad came and got me out of school. I loved that. And the last one out, his entourage is first, and as he and Pat get out, they come down the steps, they're on the thing, and I was never one for big political speeches, so I couldn't even tell you what he said, but there he was with his blue jowls, and Pat was looking very pretty. And then when the whole thing was over, you could walk up and shake his hand. And my dad and I did. So I shook hands with Nixon. And then the whole thing broke up. And we're walking back to the car, and I say to Dad, you think he's going to win this thing? He said, I don't see how he can lose. We went to bed in that belief. Next morning, Kennedy had won. Well, it's pretty well agreed upon now that election was stolen. And Nixon even later said, yeah, that was stolen, but I didn't feel like killing somebody over it. Like Johnson killed Kennedy later on. And then the next one was Barry Goldwater. Now that was a tight election, Kennedy and Nixon. And you know, you can keep them tight because it's easier to steal that way. You know, just a couple of votes here or there will do it. You can, right. It's hard to rig a landslide, but next one was Goldwater versus Johnson. Okay. So here we go again, same city park. Whistle stop. Here comes Goldwater. This time I'm a little bit older. I got the Goldwater sign. He's a Jew, but I was Jew ignorant in those days. He was a hard right winger, and that's all I gave a damn about. I still got the placard, the poster with his mug on there. I still got all that. We're out there. Same story. When it's all over with, shake his hand. And I did. So I met Nixon and I met Goldwater. Then I got with the party, George Lincoln Rockwell's American Nazi Party, and I got educated. I said, well, this whole thing's a scam, isn't it? He said, it's a scam. And I was in middle school at the time. So by the time I was old enough to vote, I knew the whole thing was a scam. And I've never voted in my entire life. And I'm sure I never will at this point.
So you've never voted? Once?
I've never voted. Never.
Do you ever have the urge to vote?
Nope. Because I knew the score. I don't know what it was back in those days, whether it had to be 18 or 21. Didn't matter, because I joined Rockwell's movement when I was 14. So 4 years later, I had the score.
Wow. That's pretty amazing. If you think about it, that, you know, you are, you know, in your early 70s, and you've never voted once.
Yeah. Yeah, that kind of sets people back on their.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Feels a little bit, but yeah. That's yes. A record I want to keep clean.
Yeah. So you didn't.
So I've never been. Hell no. Hell no.
So you're not a Trumpster.
I'd like to see him make it just to piss off the enemy.
Exactly. Right. I feel the same way. Yeah.
And you know, they're down on his ass. You know, he said, it's the enemy within. We got to worry about it. He's right.
Of course he's
right. I love that language. And boy, they took umbrage at that. Oh, what do you mean the enemy within? Who the hell are you talking about? You talking about us? Hell yes, we're talking about you.
All right.
They hate that. And of that's course. Why I would like to see him win this damn thing.
Yes. Yes. I agree.
Get the enemy within jumping up and down.
That's right. They tried to say, the enemy tried to say that what Trump was alluding to about the enemy within were the people. Of course, they were the one. They're the one.
They're the one.
Saying, right.
They're the criminal. Yeah. These people are criminals. They're criminals.
James is frozen a little bit, so we'll get him back. That's what I was saying. We're going to get an enhanced internet
system. The American people, the United States of America is going to be like Egypt or something like that. You might have the same boundaries. You might have the same name, but you're through as a nation.
Yes. Yes, exactly. So here we are, and, you know, you've never voted, which I may have known, but I guess maybe it didn't impact me the way that it has now. You've never voted, and you've obviously seen a lot more than what, you know, our listeners have seen, certainly more than I've seen. And we're only separated by about 8 years, but you've seen a lot, and you know a lot about, you know, how this country has gone down the wrong track. Let's play out two scenarios here. Let's say there is some clear sign that at least, you know, tonight one of these candidates have actually won, that they don't have to say, well, we got to count for another, you know, 4 months and then we'll get back to you. Well, let's see. So this is November, December, January. So we got less than, or a little bit more than, no, wait a second. December, January, 2 months, 2 months and 2.5 months before the new president is inaugurated.
Now, but if somebody gets to 270 electoral votes, they've won.
Yes.
And that could happen tonight.
That could. Let's say it does for the Democrat candidate. Let's play out what happens in, you know, the immediate aftermath and down the road 4 years from now. How do you think the country looks tonight? It's declared she's the winner. Obviously, the cities are not going to burn, because we don't burn cities. The left.
That's
does.
Right. That's right. And I'm not going to say we. I'm going to say the right.
Yes.
Is not organized worth a damn.
Right.
I mean, I'm just telling you the truth. But let me flash back to Obama's first inauguration. And everybody was all uptight, upset, or depending on where your mind was at, maybe you were happy as hell. But people were saying, oh, that's great. The first black man to be president of the United States. Fantastic. It's beautiful. And his whole motto was change. I'll go into that later. But and I would say to people, well, I'll tell you, check with me in 4 years and we'll see how great it's been. Well, of course, nobody did. Of the same. And what it's been and what it'll continue as is a slow spiral downhill. That's what you're going to get. The place is going to get a little darker, a little more corrupt, a little more violent, a little more perverted. But that's his change. What got me about change was, I mean, how stupid can people be? The question is, change from what to what? And there seemed to be no answer to that. Like these blacks, decades past, their whole thing has been, keep your eyes on the prize. Well, what is that prize? I think it's the destruction of this country is what it was founded to be.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. And it's been written about, you know, 100 years ago, more than 100 years ago, about the destruction of the white race. So a lot of folks who there's actually books out there, right? The Rising Tide of Color by Lothrop Stoddard. Of course, the Dispossessed Majority. The fellow used a pen name. I think his last name was Ireland. But yeah, it's been pretty clear that, you know, when non-whites come in to white countries, that obviously they want to change it to, you know, the way that they want it to be. So,
yes. Yeah, everybody's trying to get out of these places.
Right.
And they're coming here, and yes, you get enough of them. Now this becomes Haiti or some other damn place. And right, if you think that's any kind of a goal or an ideal, go there and check it out. And you can see your future and see if you really like it.
Yeah. So she gets in, she wins, the cities don't burn. You know, food prices quadrupled, gas prices tripled. How stupid can they be? Pretty fucking stupid.
Yes.
They are so stupid, it's almost unfathomable to get a grasp on how stupid they are.
Yes.
Dr. Pierce. To wrap your mind around. Yeah.
Dr. William Pierce called them lemmings.
Yep.
Lemmings. And Tom Metzger said, how stupid can these people be? They get screwed by the Democrats, and then they swing over here, vote for the Republicans. They get screwed by the Republicans. They swing back over here to the Democrats. They get screwed again, swing back over there. Now, man, that is stupidity.
Yeah, I mean, you can look to see even, you know, the polls, you know, be that as they may, or the betting, you know, now betting is a big thing on these political races. You could see how they fluctuate sometimes violently, or presidential approval ratings the day before war is declared somewhere. And the day war is declared, it's like, what has changed? Why has the approval of this president gone up so drastically? Because war was declared. So this is an indication, obviously, of the emotional ignorance of the electorate, that they really don't base their decisions on logic and intellect, but they base it on pure emotion.
Right. And who jerks the emotions around other than the Jew controlled media?
Exactly. Exactly. So let's take the other side of the coin here. Democrat, Republican, as they say, opposite sides of the same wood and nickel. The Republican wins. Trump wins. What happens in the immediate aftermath? And how do we look 4 years down the road?
Well, maybe the downward spiral I spoke of before gets a little slower. I think that's about it. Yeah, the downhill decline will get a little slower.
But how about what happens tonight? He gets 270 electoral votes. Are the BRICS already out in the cities? Have the trucks? Well, you know, they do
here.
That.
Oh, I had them here two blocks away.
Why don't you tell the listeners about that?
Okay, well, I live two blocks away from the state capital of Colorado. And I remember when this George Floyd thing first kicked off, and I was sitting with a friend, and I said to her, you know what this is? And she wasn't politically savvy, but, you know, a good person anyway. I said, this is just a signal, a code, a go word for a communist, well, dress rehearsal, a communist dress rehearsal for a full-scale communist revolution takeover. And she didn't know what to say, but I said it then, I believe it now, because the same scenario played out across the country. This was well organized. I mean, if it hadn't been George Floyd, it would have been something else, but they just chose that one. All right. So the weather was good. I'm up here two blocks away. I have some big office buildings between me and the park where all this particular riot jumped off. And I since came to call it their own night of broken glass, because they're running up and down Colfax, they're running up and down the 16th Street Mall, breaking out shop windows, most of which are owned and operated by coloreds anyway. And a lot of the coloreds have signs in the window. I'm third world or something. It didn't matter. And tear gas. Okay, now it's good weather. I got the windows open and I'm getting tear gas. But I said to myself, boy, it's been a long time since I've been tear gassed. And flashbangs. I was doing a live show then with somebody, right in this very seat. And a flashbang went off out there, and I didn't even flinch. I didn't even, because, you know, hey, I've seen some crap in my life. And the guy on the other end, he got the biggest kick out of that.
So we might hear those flashbangs.
It could happen. Yeah. It could happen.
So do you think he wins? Do you think Denver could go up in smoke? Because you've got, that's a completely fucked up city.
Oh, right? Boy, it is, yeah. Man. Okay. It is. Boy, there's some, I don't know how in the hell, you know, this is a beautiful state. I'm from Ohio, but this is a beautiful state and a hell of a lot of good people, especially when you get out of the city. and how they, how this goddamn regime, you know, how this place ever went Democrat, I'll never. David, but he'll be right back.
Yeah, there you go. You were saying how it went Democrat, you'll never know.
Yeah, and the governor, let's start with the governor. He's both a Jew and a queer. Okay? So what a...
There's got to be one more. You know, one more thing.
Well, I don't know.
Queer. Maybe he's bisexual.
Political traitor. He's a traitor. Yes. That's a word you don't hear much anymore. And there's a, you know, an old saying, you know, when treason prospers, none dare call it treason. And I think that's where we've been for a long time.
Yes.
I remember a story from the 1920s with Hitler and his movement in Germany. They called the then Reich president a traitor. And I think it was Friedrich Ebert. They would have never called Hindenburg a traitor, but they called Ebert a traitor. He sued him, hauled him into court, and they won. The guy is a traitor. Yeah. Well, you wouldn't get a court over here to do that today.
Well, you could try.
You could be wasting every minute of your time. They're all hand in glove, hand in glove.
Well, you know, that's somewhere I think good to go here. You know, you said, you know, how Colorado, you know, went all the way to the left. I mean, it's completely fucked. It's all the way to the left now. I mean, you've got drug dealers, people drugged out on the streets.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You've got you got to walk over people who are ODing.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And how, yeah, I don't know how it got there. There might be some people watching this who, you know, might have an idea about what elements brought Colorado to the point where it's literally like a San Francisco in, like, you know, the American Southwest.
Well, it's been said of this state that it's occupied by California.
So a lot of Californians moved there?
They came here, and took it over.
Okay. So it's kind of a microcosm of the rest of the country. Of course, if you go out to, you know, the flyover parts of the country, the more rural, less paid attention to parts of the country, which is most of the country, right? I think there's something like 3,000 plus counties in the United States. And most of them last presidential election I think it was last one, voted for Trump. Of course, that's not what, you know, dictates who's going to win, unfortunately. But how do you think, seeing what you've seen from the 1960s, and of course, you were born in 1952. So in 1960, you know, before the 1960 election, you were 8. And when Kennedy came into office, you were still 8. So you've seen a lot. You've seen Kennedy. Not that you would, I'm sure you remembered where you were the day he was shot, right?
No, I was sitting in my sixth grade classroom. We just came in off the playground. Teacher announced, president's been shot. We don't know if he's dead or alive. Of course, he was dead. And I remember one of the girls started crying, you know, and I wasn't bothered by it at all because we had wanted Nixon to win. And I didn't give a damn. Hey, I'm kind of that way, you know. Kennedy was a no good son of a bitch.
Right.
In his personal life and in his political career, he was no good.
Right. And a lot of folks don't realize a couple of things about Kennedy that stood out to me was he was the first president to authorize the use of napalm in Vietnam.
Mm.
And he was the first president to recognize the electoral significance of Jews So he was the first president to play up to Jews.
Well, they put him in power. They put him in power.
Yes.
And they did that because he said, yeah, I will push for civil rights.
Right.
Exactly. He went to Eleanor Roosevelt and said, will you endorse me? She said, yes, if you will come out in favor of civil rights. He said, okay. And you know what got him killed? All the theories you may have heard have been put forward.
Right.
It came to me probably 25 years ago. I was sitting there watching television and they had what appeared to be a candid video of Kennedy in the Oval Office talking to Ross Barnett, who was the governor of Alabama. Maybe it was Mississippi. I think it was Mississippi. And he's saying, well, listen, work with me just a little bit. We got to make this look believable and good. So just kind of help me out here, work with me a little bit, you know, for the sake of integration of your state. And Barnett didn't want to do it, but you know how things go. And I thought to myself, well, number one, look at that guy. He's actually ugly, man. He's bug-eyed. This bitch is ugly. But listen to this. He's trying to swing a deal with this guy. See, it may not be popular with you and it may not even be popular with me, but we got to swing this deal. And I'm thinking, that's what killed him. These Jews stole the election for him because they've redlined this integration thing. They want us mixed up bad,
of course,
real bad. And put the foot on the gas pedal and he was dragging ass. So it's called the book is Bystander.
You were saying now, you cut out a little bit. You were saying he was dragging
ass on the integration thing that you promised to do if they made him president, and he's dragging ass on it. Okay. Well, his vice president, Lyndon Johnson, at some point said, well, listen, you get me in the White House and I'll redline this for you. We'll do it right. And if you want Kennedy killed, just send him to Texas. I'll take care of it for you. And the rest is history. Now, people say, well, he did make a lot of enemies. Mafia, Cubans, military-industrial complex. He made a hell of a lot of enemies, any one of which might have taken him out. But this bullshit theory of the lone assassin, all backed up, and only a fool could fail to see through that, especially the Jack Ruby part of it. My sixth grade teacher said, well, I think that guy shot Oswald to shut him up. Well, she was right. But anyway, who's got the power to go lockstep with the bullshit part about the lone assassin and the bigger bullshit part about Ruby being so grief-stricken and feeling so sorry for Mrs. Kennedy that he had to go shoot this guy? Who's got the power to have the entire media fall in line behind that crap other than the Jews? Nobody. That's what got Kennedy. And now here comes Johnson, and he gets up in front of Congress, and he says, you know, and he's just killed this guy, had him killed. The best way we can honor our late president is to pass this civil rights bill. And like idiots, they did it.
Yep. They took him out and they used his death.
Made a hero out of him.
Yep.
Put him on the half dollar. Everything's named Kennedy now.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what communists do. That's what communists do.
Right. That makes sense. And of course, all of those characters were in Dallas the night before, which obviously is not a coincidence. So
No. There's books out on this. There's good books. Oh my God, this is documented up one side and down the other.
Yes. If you read.
If you read.
That's the problem. Yeah, fascinating stuff. So obviously growing up in 1960s America and in 1962 you were 10, in 1969 you were 17, and you know Vietnam was going on. Obviously the Tet Offensive had just occurred in January of 68. The news stories were filled with, you know, body bags coming back. So it was a tumultuous time. And so were the 70s with Nixon, and then followed by
Ford,
Ford, who was never elected vice president or president.
And then Carter, of course.
Right. Carter.
And Reagan.
Exactly. And then the only guy in the world, George H.W. Bush, who didn't know where he was the night or the day Kennedy was killed. So we believe that. So you've seen all of these decades. You've seen, like, we went through the presidents, George H.W. Bush. You've seen Clinton. You've seen Obama. You've seen Bush. You've seen all of these characters. I should have said Bush first before Obama. We could say that, you know, it's just another decade of a shit show. It's the same shit show that's been going on for all this time. Was there a time that America wasn't a shit show? And do you think that this is a particularly significant shit show that we're in now?
Oh, it is. It is. It's a three-ring circus. I've never seen anything quite like it. Three-ring circus. I did a show. I think you and I were, I know we were together on the show. Might've been the G-Man. Somebody like me, my age, could talk about the good old days, right? Young people don't want to hear about that. Good old days. Yeah. Right. You were young at least. I say, no, it's you look at the country and you see the country is a cancer patient. All right. So you're dying of cancer. Now you look 3, 4, 5 years into the past, you may still have cancer. I am good cancer stricken. Even by the time I was born, we were cancer stricken. We had traitors in high office. I mean, Truman, Eisenhower, these people were traitors, and they were surrounded by these Jew communists, and integration was going wild. They were just eating away at the foundation of the country. But wow, all these are high ideals. We got to do this, you know, equality, democracy. And now it's diversity and inclusion and all that crap, all these phony baloney buzzwords. But we're really seeing the results now. We're really seeing and feeling the results.
But what's going to happen? That's what I'm getting at. What are we going to look like?
Well, incompetency is taking over. Corruption's taking over. Criminality's taking over. Degeneracy is taking over. This is the onset of death. I I'm a Christian identity apostle, whatever the hell. And as I was studying all this, studying that Bible 25, 30 years ago, oh, so many things I hit that they never spoke of in church. I seldom went to church because even as a little guy, I knew they weren't talking anything, and I don't have time for this. But I'm seeing all this stuff, and a big one all throughout the Bible is sorcery. And it comes down to, they screwed it up in the translation. It could have been pharmacia. And has that not stricken this place? Everywhere. Well, that was in the world where Jesus lived and moved, and Paul and all of them. That was the closing days, the death throes of classical civilization. Rome, for example. And everywhere was sorcery. And is that not the case here today?
Seems like there's something, you know, otherworldly that's at play here.
Well, it's not otherworldly. It's simply dope. It's dope. That's not otherworldly. That's not
like dope, like marijuana.
And it goes from there, works up to fentanyl or whatever the hell else you want, but everybody's on something. And it was the same 2000 years ago.
Yep. Nothing changed.
That was a death. That was the death of that civilization. And it took 1,000 years before Western civilization could climb back up onto its feet. 1,000 years of the Dark Ages.
So we're in our death throes, is what you're saying.
Yeah, you Dark Ages.
So is there anything to look forward to right now?
Well,
honestly,
as I read and as I studied, I said, well, it's obvious. This was all foreseen, the present day. And we're damn near, you know. I know you remember 9/11, right?
I do.
And I remember getting up that morning. I was a late sleeper then. I'm not anymore.
Right.
And I walked through, and on the television was a plane hitting one of the towers and shooting flames. And you know, like as with Kennedy's assassination, I didn't much give a damn. I thought to myself, hey, this is going to be a good news day. That's me for you.
Well, I got to tell you a Kennedy joke before you.
Oh, go for it. Go for it.
Someone, I heard this year in the 80s, a buddy of mine, his brother said it. And I was like, holy shit. I can't believe he said it. He said, and he was an Irish guy. What was the best thing Kennedy did during his presidency?
And I couldn't die, I guess. That was probably
right.
The best.
Go to Dallas.
Yeah, go to Dallas. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And
right.
I remember hearing that. I was like, wow, what?
That's pretty harsh.
What? Yeah, that was harsh. But, you know, I don't know, but go ahead.
So then it hit
9/11.
It hit me. Yeah, 9/11. And this is right out of the book of Revelation. Babylon's whore going down in an hour. Wow. I said, well, hey, that's Babylon's whore. And it just went down in an hour. We're within two pages of the end of the book. Right? And it wasn't just that. It was in two places in the book of Revelation. It said, oh, yes, and the people of the land are wringing their hands, and the merchants of the world are in sorrow. How could such a terrible thing happen to us? We're so good. How could such a terrible thing happen to us? And I said, well, that cinches it as far as I'm concerned. This is Babylon's whore. This is a big marker in time.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And I remember that. And there were some people who they knew right away that it was, well, of course, with the second plane. And there's some folks who don't even believe there were planes, you know, and that's fine. People can believe what they want to believe. But yeah, that was the modern day marker, that time that delineated, you know, some folks say the Kennedy assassination was when America lost its innocence. You know, this time was another punch in the gut to this country. James, let's get an update on the election since we're doing a show on election night, and I'm looking at apnews.com. And it looks like right now that Trump has 23 electoral votes. Of course, I don't know if anything's closed. Like right now in where we are in the Florida Panhandle, it's about 7:15. And the polls close here at 7. And we're in central time.
Same here, 7 at 7. And it's
and
5:45.
You're
a
mountain time. Yeah.
Right.
So right now, Trump's got 23 electoral votes, and Harris has 3. So Trump has 6.5, almost 6.6 million votes, and she has 5.2 million votes.
Yeah, but that could change, right?
Oh, that's going to change, because it looks like he carried Indiana pretty solidly. He carried Kentucky. He's carrying Ohio, carrying Georgia. South Carolina.
That's one of the, if you can believe these people in the media, Georgia is a big one. They call them swing states. And there's, I guess, 5.
Exactly.
And the biggest of those is Pennsylvania.
Right, which is surprising. Right next to where you grew up in Ohio.
Yeah, I thought Ohio accounted for more than that.
Yeah. Yeah, I would too. But there was a program on the Communist News Network, CNN, last week, I think it was, where they did a show. Of course, it was two Jews, you know, the Jew talking head interviewing a Jew, which is always what it is. And this guy, I think his name was Harry Enten. And this Jew said, well, you know, there's some pretty big signs that, you know, Trump is going to take it. And one was the approval rating of the president, who, as probably most of us know, is a guy named Biden. I don't think Biden knows that he's still the president.
But, I doubt it.
Yeah, what a joke. But the last time someone with an approval rating as low as Biden's won was never. So he's like down 25-28% approval rating. Anytime that these statistics have been studied, that party has lost. So he's got that, and he's got a couple of other reasons he brought up. I can't remember what they were, but one of them, or all of them, one of the other ones was the number of folks the Republican Party got to register to vote. And this is the Communist News Network saying this. So they were very impressed by that number. So I hear a lot of folks saying it's going to be a landslide. Family members, friends, colleagues thinking that it's going to be a complete blowout. Democrat operatives, or I should say Washington DC operatives who have, and we talked about this the other day, James, mm-hmm. who have, you know, polled their contacts in the Democrat Party, or really it's Democratic, but whatever. Obviously there were a lot of chances for governors and other polls to campaign with Harris, and they chose not to. You know, these politicians, they have to be careful about stuff like that. So I think that the general sense has been within the Democratic Party that, you know, here is somebody, Harris, who is extremely unpopular. I think she got 1% when she was trying to run. They bypassed the convention rules in the Democratic convention. I think it was in August, on August 19th. She was just pushed up to the front. No one got a chance to vote on it. I don't think anybody wants her. I think that watching her on, you know, video on the screen is to a lot of people, I think it's hard to take.
He's back.
Okay.
He's coming back.
All right, good. Yeah, I was saying that I think that a lot of folks, when they see her talking, I think it's hard to take for a lot of folks. She's not someone who you warm up to. She's somebody who you really don't want to have anything to do with. I think a lot of these folks who are voting for her are voting for her because
they hate Trump.
Exactly.
Like Biden said, we got to stop Trump.
Exactly.
That's what we got to do. Or yes. It's the end of everything.
Yes.
It's over.
Over. And of course, the president, the president, the U.S. presidency, or the president himself or herself, hopefully not herself, is very limited in what they can do. And that's why over the course of recent events, you've seen a lot of executive orders because the House of Representatives is really the ultimate law of the land. It's not the Supreme Court. It's the House because it's most directly connected to the people. So the House of Representatives should be the voice of the people. The president, obviously the founders designed it, engineered in such a way that the president was not a dictator. So there's really only limited things that the president can do. But of course, as you know, James, the communists are afraid that if they have a charismatic personality in there, that that one charismatic personality could erase all of the gains that they have made over these decades.
Yes, yes, yes. And you know, should Trump get in there, one of the first things he needs to do, and I think he will do, is go to the rescue of these patriots who have been so persecuted by this goddamn communist monster we have in power, the people that laid siege to the Capitol, the people who had the balls to stand up and say the election was stolen, that and the criminals themselves, you know, hey, you can't say to Al Capone, you're a crook, you know, because he's going to get you. And so, yeah, the criminals stepped up, the politicians, the court, the media. I hope Trump is going to come to these people's rescue. He'd better.
Well, he's promised to do something like that. I don't know. You don't know. None of us know. But, you know, I heard, and again, I could be wrong because I don't pay that close of attention to politics. But I heard that that snake son-in-law is coming back. If he wins, is coming back into the White House. That's a horrible move to have that nasty Jew there. But, you know, if he does that, then, you know, I guess he deserves what's going to happen to him, right? He was surrounded by assholes in his first term. And by the way, yeah, is there a law against Trump running again after this term? I know it's limited.
He said he wouldn't.
He said he wouldn't.
He'll be too old, and he knows it.
What is it, the 26th Amendment or 27th Amendment that precludes a president from holding office more than 2 years? Is that consecutive?
Now there's a good question. That's a good point of law. But he's already said he will not, no matter what happens here, he will not run again. He'll be too old, and he knows it.
I'm just going to look it up while we're talking. All right. So what else are you thinking about, James, tonight on this, you know, very monumental, you know, election?
I remember I had a good night back in 2016. I stayed up until 2:30 and beyond, I think. It took that long, I guess, for him to get that thing sunk and cinched up, you know. And I tell people, and I'm not lying, I shed a tear of joy when that was locked up, because I was attending a group, had been attending a group for some years, and there was a Vietnamese woman in there who referred to Hillary Clinton and said, that woman is just plain evil. And she got up in front of the gathering and said that woman is just evil. And she wasn't kidding either. And this one currently, I was thinking, wow, man, the serpent is a female this time around. The serpent is a female.
Did I tell you about the time that I interviewed Hillary Clinton?
No.
Well, let me just say first that I was wrong. It's the 22nd Amendment to the United States Constitution. It limits the number of times a person can be elected to the office of the President of the United States to 2 terms and sets additional eligibility conditions for presidents who succeed to the unexpired terms of their predecessors.
So
I guess it doesn't matter that, let's just read it real quick. No person shall be elected to the office of president. And by the way, this 22nd Amendment was passed on Congress approved it in March of 1947. So it was on the heels of the Roosevelt dynasty, right? It was actually completed in 1951 when the requisite 36 of the 48 states had ratified the amendment. Neither Alaska nor Hawaii had been admitted, had yet been admitted. So it was in 1951 that it came into play. And of course, that was after, let's see, we had the election in what, 48, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then 4 years later in 52, so it was 53 then, yeah. Okay, so here it is. No person should be elected to the office of the president more than twice, and no person who has held the office of president or acted as president for more than 2 years of a term to which some other person was elected president shall be elected to the office of the president more than once.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
So, yeah, I didn't either. So let's say Biden dies and Harris is the president. She can only stay the president one more term. So I'm surprised that the Jews media didn't really talk about that. No, I'm kidding. So, yes, I interviewed Hillary Clinton, and she was, I think, and I could be wrong, but because I've interviewed a lot of folks, but I think she was the only person I ever interviewed actually face-to-face. So everybody else was from the studio, in New York or New Jersey, or over the phone or over the internet. But she was the only person I interviewed face-to-face. And I was on the radio in New York City, right in Manhattan, right on Wall Street, believe it or not. So I don't know if have you ever been to New York City?
Yeah, one time.
Yeah.
And that's a story we'll go into at a later date.
Excellent.
A lot of fun.
Yes, I want to hear that. So Wall Street goes, as it's heading west, away from like the financial district, it ends at like the FDR Drive. So it's like, you know, you've got like, the different arteries that travel along the perimeter of Manhattan. And so this radio station was on Wall Street toward the farthest east end. And so just to give you an idea, on the other side, roughly, is like the West Side Highway or West Street, and that's where the Twin Towers were. So we're on the other side of Lower Manhattan. And I had tried to get her for an interview for a couple of months, I think it was. And I kept regularly trying with her press person. And then finally, I can't remember her name, but she said, Dave, can you be at, you know, this location at this date and time? And I can get you the interview with her. And I said, sure. And at this time, she was a senator from New York, which she was from Illinois. That's where she was born and raised. Like the former senator, or I'm sorry, governor, I think he was, from New Jersey, John Corzine. He was also from Illinois. So both of these characters brought their carpet bags out east. And so she was the senator at the time. It was 2002. It was right after 9/11. And she was talking about like the first responders. So I went to the location, and she was up on the stage, and there were all the, you know, the mainstream media were surrounding the stage. I could hear her. I didn't need to, you know, hover toward the front. So I just hung back.
Yeah, he's back.
Yeah. What'd you hear last?
Went to the location.
Yeah. Great. So I went to the location. She was up on the stage talking, giving her prepared remarks, and all of the mainstream media creatures were hovered around the stage in the hopes of course, nabbing an interview with her. And I just hung back. I stayed in the back about 40 feet because I'd hear her. There was no reason for me to go up there. And what happened was that when she ended her prepared remarks, she, instead of talking to the assembled media, she literally came off the stage and came right to me.
You'll be damned.
Because her press person said, "That's Dave. He's been trying to talk to you for a couple of months, or however long it was. Let's give him the interview first." I think that's how it unfolded. So she walks directly to me, ignores all of the Jews media, and I have a a microphone, and she immediately goes to the wire that's hanging and starts straightening it out, right? A tactic to, put a person at ease. So we did, and so literally I was this far away from her, obviously standing up and, holding the microphone and asking her questions, and she was talking. I've met, like you, James, I've met a lot of people in my life, thousands, I would say, over the course of my life. And I'm 64. And this was the first time that I actually felt that there was some sort of presence oozing out of her, some sort of dark, evil something. It was the weirdest thing. I've never felt it before nor since.
Wow.
But yeah, there was something there, and it was noticeable. And I even her face with all of its pock marks, and I didn't notice that on television or anything, but it just stood out, and something was oozing out of her. So you were talking about a witch or evil. I felt it, and I can't explain it.
No. Well, there's more going on here than, this isn't one dimensional by any means.
Nope. Let's give a quick check here. Okay. All righty then. We got an update. Trump, 95 electoral votes. Whatever her name is, 35.
Now, give me those figures again one more time.
Trump, 95.
Uh-huh.
Harris, 35.
Oh, I'll be damned.
It looks like, from this map, she is solidly winning Maryland. Trump is solidly winning West Virginia. I'll just talk about the places we didn't before. She is so far, it's not solid, winning Pennsylvania.
Uh-oh.
Trump, she is winning New Jersey, not solidly. She solidly is winning Rhode Island, Connecticut, all those Northeast shitholes. Rhode Island, Connecticut, Massachusetts, Vermont, what a bunch of assholes. New Hampshire, but not solid. Trump solidly picked up South Carolina, Alabama, Mississippi, Tennessee, Oklahoma, and now Florida solid. That's why they gave him the votes. He's got over 10 million votes. She's got 8.5 million. So obviously we're talking about now east of the Mississippi. So we know that she will carry California, Oregon, Washington, your piece of shit state, Colorado.
That's all right. Yeah. It's all right.
Well, it's okay, man.
I got nothing vested in it at all.
I know, but hey, it is what it is, right?
Yeah.
And I got to Florida just at the right time, I think, right? Next month, we will have been here for 10 years. How the hell that happened? Just the blink of an eye. So shit, it took 3 years to get Siege out. So, you know, a 3 year chunk of those 10 years was just, you know, trying to get your book out. Texas is leaning to Harris.
That's not good.
No. Michigan is leaning to Harris.
That's not good.
No. She's got about 9 million votes. He's got 10.5 million. He's still at 95. She's still at 35. Trump, let me read this to you. Because we could be up all night, James, right?
Oh, we'll break this off. We're not going to be up all night. We can rejoin it tomorrow, maybe.
That's no fun. Come on, man. That's no fun. We got to pull an all-nighter. All right, here, listen to this. Senior Trump advisor. Where'd that go? Okay. The story was just here. Now it's gone. Oh, geez. Missouri election workers killed in flash flood. That sucks. They're in some bad floods out there. I was talking to Pastor Eli earlier, and he's in Arkansas, and they had 48 hours of just rain nonstop.
Mm-hmm.
And this godforsaken place where we are, it hasn't rained in about 3 months. Let me try this again, James. 9 minutes ago, it says. Let's see if we could get this story. Trump advisor projects confidence. 34 minutes ago. Okay. Let me just see if I could bring this up here because it keeps disappearing. Here it is. Senior Trump advisor Corey Lewandowski.
No, there you go.
Yeah, is projecting. No, he's not, though. Is projecting confidence as polls begin to close. He feels great, he said of Trump speaking at the former president's watch party in West Palm Beach, Florida. We are ready when the election is called to begin the transition to put this country back on track. Trump's campaign sees its easiest path.